Good morning. This is the Faith Builders program coming to you from Oasis Christian Center, a family church in Smith Station, Alabama. We invite you to listen to Pastor Rock as he ministers the Word of God to us. Our church is a non-denominational Word of Faith church. We hope that this program is a blessing to you and that you will tell your friends and relatives to tune in. Now here is Pastor Rock.
Praise God. Good to see all of y'all today. Amen. We appreciate all of y'all so much. We have a great church here. You know, I don't ever want to take that for granted, because God joined this church together and He joined this group of people together, and we have a great church, and I thank God for it. I thank God for every one of you. Now, if Pastor Sharon was standing here this morning, she would tell you it is neighbor looking time. No. She would tell you it's phone time to post it on your phone to share the message. So I appreciate you sharing the message at this time. And the next thing that she would do is she would speak a word over you. Amen. You guys ready for your word?
Yeah.
I declare you have the peace of God that passes all understanding. No matter what you may be facing, you have no fear, because the Lord is always with you. You do not fret or have any anxiety about anything. God's peace transcends all understanding and guards your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. I declare you're not moved by what you feel, hear, or see. You're only moved by what the Word of God says. I declare the peace of God is evident in your heart and mind, and is continually working on your behalf in Jesus' name. Amen. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. Let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Father, I plead the blood of Jesus over the rest of this service. And I plead the blood of Jesus over our minds, over our hearts, and over our wills. And Father, I just thank you the work of the Holy Spirit will be in us today with the Word, and just enlightening this Word and showing us things from the Word we've never seen, helping us to hear things we've never heard. We have a greater illumination of the Word of God this day when we go out than when we walked in. And I thank you for it, Father God. It gets deep inside of us. In Jesus' name, amen. So, at the end of the message today, I'm going to give you what the survey says is the number one blessing blocker. All right. I can tell that one went over very well. Okay. 1 Corinthians, if you'll go with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse number 3. But if one loves God truly with affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of his blessing, he is known by God, recognized as worthy of his intimacy and love, and he is owned by him. Isn't that good? See, that's how we should be. We should be walking around in grateful recognition of his blessing. If anybody should see the blessing of God, it's us. Our eyes should be open to it. So many times we're overlooking it, but the blessing of the Lord is on your life. God has moved in your life this week. You may not, and I may not have perceived it, but I guarantee you, he moved. He moved behind the scenes. He was doing things. And there's some things that will be revealed and we'll see them next week or this coming week. But he was moving behind the scenes last week and this week to do it. So our motto should be, I love God, so I'm very thankful. People should see that thankful spirit on us. You know, they should recognize we're Christians because we're... Have you ever seen somebody so thankful? My goodness. And it ought to be a sign to them that we're a Christian. 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18 says, thank God in everything. Be thankful and give thanks. So we should walk around with grateful recognition of his blessings. Now, I have talked to people, Christian people, and I've talked to them about what are they thankful for. I asked them, what are you thankful for? And I remember one of the replies I got was, I don't think of anything right now that God has done in my life, and I'm not I have nothing to be thankful for. And it really set me back because I had never heard that, you know, the way I heard it. And I said, you don't have one thing in your life that you're thankful for. Can't think of a thing? I said, you need to think again because you're missing it. You're messed up. I mean, I might not have said you're messed up, but I was sure I wanted to because they were messed up. And finally, they came up with one thing. One thing. I mean, that's the wrong perspective. God is moving in our lives. He's doing stuff. We all go through seasons of great challenge. All of us do. But that doesn't mean God's not moving. That doesn't mean we don't have things to be thankful for. Even though we're not on the mountaintop and everything's going our way, that does not mean we don't have things to be thankful for. I know it's already been brought out this morning about Christmas. Some people would be mad after Christmas. They'll be mad at their loved ones because they didn't get what they thought they should have got. And that's the wrong perspective. It's missing the mark on it. Some people are always stirred up about something. Thank you, I just won't go there. Our perspective should be, I love God, so I'm thankful. My perspective is my point of view, a way of looking at things, a particular attitude. 2 Peter 3 and 9 says, this means that contrary to man's perspective, the Lord is not late with His promise to return as some measure lateness, but rather His delay simply reveals His loving patience toward you because He does not want any to perish, but all to come to repentance. See, now our perspectives can be wrong. Our way of looking at things can be wrong, contrary to God's perspective. Now I remember me and Ish were talking about something this week. And my perspective on it, Ish, was I'd had a few conversations with the Lord about this situation. This is something me and you know about. And I had a lot of conversations with the Lord about it. And I told him, I said, you know, this last minute thing, this almost late thing, I mean, because if I was just looking at it, I would say, you're late, Lord. Now, that's from my perspective, you understand. But He's not late. And He revealed to me in this particular situation that not only was He not late, He was working in a way that His timing had to be perfect. If His timing wasn't what I thought on time would have been earlier, but He had to do it. He had to precisionly time something so that we would be blessed in a greater measure than before, and it wouldn't hinder our favor that God wanted to give us. But I couldn't see it because I'm looking from a wrong perspective. I'm looking from this perspective, and God's looking at the overall perspective. He sees all the working parts. He knows exactly what's going on. He has divine alignment and divine connections that He needs to put in place at the right time. And God is always moving in the right time. From my perspective, that is not always so. But from the Word of God, which is truth, the highest form of reality that exists, He is always moving in the right time. One day I'm going to share the rest of that story with you, and you'll understand what I'm talking about. Proverbs 15 and 30 says, eyes that focus on what is beautiful bring joy to the heart, and hearing a good report refreshes and strengthens the inner being. That's good, isn't it? So, I'm going to give you some words of wisdom. Amen? Focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. Focus on what you can do, not on what you can't do. When we focus on what we can't do or what we don't have, it frustrates us. It paralyzes us in living for the Lord. I'm going to say it again. Focus on what you have, not on what you don't have. Focus on what you can do, not on what you can't do. If we'll do this, it'll change our perspective. It'll reset our mind. Colossians 3 and 2 says, and set your minds and keep them set. I brought this scripture out last week because I don't know about you guys, but my mind will get in the right perspective for a while and then something will change it. I'll let something change it and I'll get it in the wrong perspective. So it has to be reset. And set your minds and keep them set on what is above, the higher things, not on the things that are on the earth. Now I want to meddle a little bit. Philippians 2 and 14. Do all things without, okay, now this is the G word, without grumbling and fault finding and complaining. Wait a minute, this is resonating. I can feel it. It's getting us all. You know, this is, we can all take part of this. Amen? Y'all know we're all involved in this. Do all things without grumbling, fault finding, and complaining against God and questioning and doubting among ourselves. Now, when I hear myself complaining, I know that I need an attitude adjustment. I know when y'all hear me complaining, you know Pastor needs attitude adjustment. I don't know what's wrong with him. He needs more word. He needs more prayer. He needs something. Dear God. But Pastor's thinking the same thing about y'all when he hears y'all complain. Thank you very much. I just thought I'd slide that in. Being ungrateful for your job. Do you complain about it a lot? That would mean you'd need an adjustment. Because you've crossed the line and you're on the devil's territory. Well, you just don't know my boss. You don't know my situation. You don't know how my job is. All I know is you're not supposed to be complaining about it. Yep, I'll come back next week and finish this up. And the reason I say that is because we're not going to be here next Sunday. So I'll leave you the type notes. I'll put them on the door. How about that? We'll be here Wednesday, by the way, but we won't be here Sunday. What happens to us that gets us over into that worldly spirit of complaining? We hear the world talking about, I mean, you don't have to look anywhere to see how high things have gotten and how easy it would be to complain about everything right now. But you know what? God's got us. God's got us. I don't care how high the gas gets, I can fill my car up. I don't care how high the food gets, I'll have food on my table. I'll have food in my house. Why? Because I got God. I got a covenant with Almighty God. And He's going to take care of me. He's going to take care of my family. Glory to God. Glory to God. I love God, so I am very thankful. No matter what my circumstances are. I don't want to get over into that worldly spirit of complaining. But if we don't reset ourselves, we'll get worse. We'll start complaining a little bit, and then you start complaining a lot. You start complaining about this one thing, then it's two, then it's three, then it's four. Okay, I'm going to meddle some more. Do you complain about your spouse a lot? Now I'm going to suggest something. Maybe you don't have a spouse. Maybe it's, you know, your friends or loved ones or... I'm going to let that one resonate in here too. I can hear it going all over the place. Now guys, I should have said something. I should have put a thought there before I said that. I should have said, guys, look straight on. Don't look at your spouse at this time. Don't, you know, just, that's like if your spouse says, you know, do I look fat? Amen. You know, the commercial mannequin man. Or I think the guy stuffed a thing of something in his mouth so he couldn't talk. So, do you complain about your spouse a lot? Then if you do, you're giving the enemy place. And we need to reset. When we hear ourselves starting to complain like that, we need to know, I need to reset me. My attitude's getting wrong. I'm saying wrong things. Wrong things are coming out of my mouth and it's just going to get... You spiral out of control if I don't catch it and stop it. It'll only get worse. I love God, so I'm very thankful. I love God, So I'm very thankful. Do you want your marriage to be better? The reason your marriage... I didn't realize this was going to be a marriage session this morning. I can even see there's going to be homework. I'll let that one resonate for a minute too. So everybody wants their marriage to be better. How about that? Everybody wants their marriage to be better. And the reason your marriage is something to complain about is because of what you're focusing on. You're focusing on the wrong things. The negative things, the weaknesses, the flaws. I'll give you a story. Joyce Meyer said that she was talking to the Lord and praying to the Lord about her husband Dave. And she is telling God, I tell you what, there's a lot wrong with Dave. And she is going to God constantly rehearsing everything that's wrong with Dave. And she just does it and does it and does it and does it. And finally, she was led by the Lord to write down the things that were bothering her about Dave. So she and also then about the good things about Dave. She said she wrote three things down on her list. It was three main things that really got her goat about Dave. She wrote those three things. Then she made another list about his good traits and the things she liked and appreciated about Dave. And it was a very long list. And the Lord really showed her she's focusing on all the negatives, but not on the positives. And so she's nagging him and she's just trying to change him. You understand? You can't change anybody else. I'm sure Pastor Sharon would testify if she were here this morning. I can't change Pastor Rock. I've been trying for 37 years. I can't change that man. That's right, because that won't do it. Only the work of the Holy Spirit will do it. Amen? But she'd been focusing on those three negative things instead of focusing on all the good things, the long list of Dave's good traits. Instantly, her marriage was better. It's because her focus had changed. Her perspective was now focused on the good things. I really believe this is a life-changing message. And I know I've given this story before, but it really came up to me just now to give it. And I was coming home from work one day when I worked at the factory. And it was a bad day. I mean, it was just a really bad day. And it was storming real bad. And I'm coming home and I'm rehearsing everything from that day in my mind and everything that happened. And it was just like a cloud. And it's storming, like I said, and I'm on the Oglethorpe Bridge. And as I'm coming across the Oglethorpe Bridge, a car on the other side of the bridge got out of control because they were going too fast in the weather. They lost control. And they flipped over into the other lane, my lane. And they were right, I'm talking about, they are fixing to smash my car to pieces. And then they flipped again, out of control, swerved, and hit the thing on the pylon on the other side. And I checked on them, they were okay. They just were shook up, and it's raining. But my perspective changed. Suddenly, it wasn't a bad day anymore. I mean that. Suddenly that cloud was gone. Suddenly I saw what could have been and wasn't. And I realized I was operating under the mercy of God and I didn't even see it. I have a wrong perspective. So Joyce reset her perspective about her marriage by writing down things. Now I know a lot of times I'll tell people to write stuff down and they'll say, I'll just say it. That's not going to work the same. You need to write it down. You need to make a list. You might even need to put it on your refrigerator. If it's your spouse, you might need to put the good list on your refrigerator. Please understand, I'm not trying to cause real problems here, because that would be real problems if you take your list which is now a scroll, and you post it on the refrigerator with all the bad traits, all the negative things. That's not what we're wanting to do. Thank you very much. Write those things down, and it resets you when you write it down. The positive things about your spouse, the positive things about your life. Matthew 7 and 3, this is in the Passion Translation. Why do you focus on the flaw in someone else's life and fail to notice the glaring flaws of your own life? Isn't that good? Do you want your job to get better? I heard it was quiet this time. Last time when he said marriage, everybody, it was really loud. I'll keep going. I'm going to move on quickly now. The reason your job has gotten bad is because you're focusing all the things you don't like about it. All the negatives. If you reset your thinking about your job, it'll be like you got a brand new job. List five things. Okay, now I'm going to give you things. I'm giving you stuff to do, and I hope you're going to do it. It'll change. It'll make a change in you. I promise you, it'll change your perspective. It'll reset your perspective if you'll do what I'm saying. List five things about your spouse that are positive, that you like, that you admire, and write them down. I'm going to help y'all out. Pastor Sharon's not with me today because she has things God has got her doing right this second. I'm gonna list her five things. I could do a lot more than five. Her never quit attitude. She is relentless. If the devil knocks her down six times, she'll get up seven. I'm talking about you. You just can't stop her. I don't care what it is. No. I love that about her. I love it about her, and how positive she is. I don't know if you guys read her blog, but that is one positive blog, and it is touching people all over everywhere. A lot of people don't even realize some of the things that are coming out of that blog. You know, I know she's putting scriptures in it, but some of them are prophetic. I've seen some of the people, Pastor Sharon was saying this to this one and this to this one, and I said, are you aware what you just said to this person? They're being moved away. And you just nailed it. She had no idea of what the word that she had just given them, and they were being moved away, and she gave them a word about where they were going. I mean, it was amazing. But she had no clue of it in her own self. But she allowed God to use her like that. How strong she is. I'll give you an example. Now, Pastor Sharon's a little bitty, you know, she's not frail, but she's little. Probably wrong, but it's somewhere in there. I'm way up here. Y'all haven't noticed. But she's, you know, she's right in here. And the other day she asked me to go do something. She was checking on Granny. She's like Superwoman at the house. And she's doing this and doing that. And she said, could you see if we've got this, if we had ordered something, see if it's in yet? And I said, yeah, I think it might be in the room out there. I'll have to look through some stuff. So I went out there and I was looking. And then Pastor Sharon is, I'm coming back in from this outside, almost this garage type room, and I'm coming back in, and she's walking down the hallway with the ottoman. We have a double ottoman. It's pretty heavy, and she's got it. And I said, give me that ottoman. She said, I got this ottoman. I said, give me the ottoman. And I said, you don't need to be doing that. She said, mentioned that she carries 100 pounds all the time. And I was thinking, yeah, this woman's getting stronger, God. I said, go ahead with your bad self. I'll give you some more stuff if you want to move some stuff, huh? And the fifth one is how graceful she is. Hallelujah. So, the challenge, write five things about your spouse, at least five things. You'll see your relationship get better. Maybe it's a friendship. Write five things. Write five things about your job that you like. Does it bring you satisfaction? Does it challenge you? Does it pay good? Good benefits, good hours, good working conditions. It'll reset your thinking. Any area that you have a negative perspective, write down at least 5 things that are positive about the person or the situation. If you do this, it'll reset the way you see it or them. And I told you in the beginning today, I was going to give you what the survey says is the number one blessing blocker. Survey says, I know it didn't have the effect. Ish, where are my sound effects? Man, you should have me 100 sound effects by now. Not that I hadn't got him doing 350 other things now. The number one, a lack of gratitude. That's the number one blessing blocker. And that came from the the Edmonds group. And so I'm sure it's a thorough. But I don't want anything to block my blessing, do you? I'm going to go back to 1 Corinthians 8 and 3, and then I want Deborah to come up. And then we are going to have prayer after we go off the air today. But if one loves God truly with affectionate reverence, prompt obedience, and grateful recognition of His blessing, he is known by God, recognized as worthy of His intimacy and love, and He is owned by Him. Praise God. Amen. Praise God.
We thank you for listening to today's program. We believe that Jesus died for our sins and that He has sanctified us for eternity. We desire that all come to the knowledge of Him as their personal Savior. If you have accepted Jesus as Savior through this broadcast, or if you wish more information, we would love to hear from you. Contact us at Oasis Christian Center, Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877, phone 334-520-7538, or email at oasischristiancenter@ctvea.net. You can visit our website at oasisfamilychurch.net. For those of you on Facebook, we do have Facebook Live every Wednesday and Sunday, Wednesday night 7 p.m. and on Sunday at 10:30. You may reach us by Oasis Christian Center, a family church, Smith Station, Alabama. We'd also like to give you the opportunity to sow a seed into the ministry. You may text to give at 334-274-7885. Online giving, aciionlinegiving.com/4832. Or you may mail to Post Office Box 246, Smith Station, Alabama 36877. Until next time, God bless you, and Jesus is Lord.
I would like to say one more thing. This is to the Faith Builders listeners out there. Please, if you would like a reply to your emails, include your email address within the body of your email. Thank you.